Andrew Womack Ministries presents this session from the 2016 Summer Family Bible Conference. We pray that the Word of God will come alive in your heart as you listen.
So let me real quickly just share some things with you. I'm not going to try and go long. We've got our healing school this afternoon, and I tell you, that is always special. And I would really, really, really encourage you to come. You know, there's a lot of people that come and want me to pray for them, but they don't want to just sit here and learn the Word and do these kind of things. But that's like what Greg was teaching today. They want the spectacular. They want God to take them by the hand and just do it for them. But one of the things that we rejoice at Charis Bible College so much is that it's not built around a personality or a special gifting. It's the Word of God, and you can take the Word of God and get healed of anything. And we have seen hundreds, probably thousands and thousands of people healed by just hearing the Word and getting the Word in them. And that's what excites me. I can't go home with you. These instructors can't go home with you. But you can take the Word home and the Holy Spirit will quicken it to you and you can be healed. So real quickly, let me just say that on my first session, I was talking about how that everything is already done. God didn't create man and then, as an afterthought, start meeting his needs. He created everything that it took to supply Adam and Eve's needs before they were ever created. And the same thing is true for us. God has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Anything you will ever need has already been done. It's not a matter of getting God to do it. God has already done it. It's you receiving and resting in what God has already done. What Greg was saying, you know, especially that part in Mark chapter 4, 35, into the first part of Mark chapter 5, that's exactly, God said, go to the other side. Don't go halfway and drown. And the fight was for them to just trust in what God said and not go by what they saw. So God has already provided everything. Anything that you need is already done. It's not a matter of learning how to get God to do something. And I tell you, this is a dividing point between mature and immature Christians. Mature Christians begin to start trusting and resting in the fact that, God, you've done it. And I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what my senses are feeling me, telling me, what my body feels. I don't care about any of these things. This is what you said you've done, and I'm trusting and resting in you. We've talked about those things, and that is really beginning to be mature when you quit trying to get God to do something and you start trusting that he's already supplied it, and it's just a matter of you calming yourself, staying calm, staying in faith, and being patient, and you will see the salvation of the Lord. And then I was talking last night about that one of the most asked question, which all of these things are related, is people say, why did God let this happen? That shows that you don't understand that God gave authority to us. I use those verses out of Genesis chapter 1. And God gave us authority. It's not God who released sickness and death into this earth. We did. We empowered the devil. We're the ones that loosed him. And it's not God who controls everything. God has a plan for every one of us, but God's plan does not automatically come to pass. You have to cooperate with God. A verse that I often quote is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. And most people just stop right there. You'll see signs about this, plaques, and people making statements that God's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. That's not a true statement. Somebody says, well, it's right there in Scripture. It says it. No, it goes on to say, according to. The word according to means proportional or to the degree of the power that works in us. God gave authority over this earth to people with a physical human body. And God didn't have a physical human body. By doing that and saying, I give you dominion, you, then that meant only people with physical human bodies had authority in this earth. And you know, I'm going to say a lot of things here that normally I would spend 2 or 3 hours teaching this. I'm going to try and say it in 30 minutes. So I'm not going to give you all of the verification, but you could go study this, and I've got teaching on this that will give you the references and everything. But in John chapter 5, this tells you why Jesus had to become a man. I don't know if you've ever asked these questions, but I remember as a kid asking people, why did Jesus have to come to the earth and die? Isn't God God? Couldn't God have provided salvation some other way? Why did he choose that way? I asked these questions and nobody ever answered them. They just thought, well, that's, you know, the way God chose. No, there's a specific reason why Jesus had to become a man. Because it all goes back to the fact that God releases his power through words. He created this entire universe, you and me, by words. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, the worlds were framed by the word of God. Genesis chapter 1, he said, let there be light. When God speaks words, Psalms chapter 89, verse 34, it's a covenant. It becomes a binding contract. God cannot lie. Hebrews chapter 6. And so when God says something, he is bound by his word. We violate our word all the time. And if we say something, I'll be there at 7 o'clock and it winds up being later. Well, I'm sorry, I missed it. No big deal. But God doesn't do that. If God was to say he was going to be there at 7 o'clock and he showed up at 7:01, the entire universe would self-destruct. It would implode because he holds all things together by the power of his word. Once God says something, he cannot, he will not violate it. So when God said, you have dominion, you rule this earth, you subdue it, you control all of these animals, you control everything. By God doing that, he took himself out of control. He gave control to us. God does not directly control things here on this earth. He controls it through people. And this is the reason Jesus had to become a man, because God looked. We use that verse on Monday night in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 20, and he says, I looked for a man that would stand in the gap, and I couldn't find any. And so it goes on to say, I'll have to do it myself. And Jesus had to become a man because authority was invested in physical human beings.
Yes, amen.
I tell you, what I've just said right here is awesome. If you understood this, it would answer lots of questions. I haven't got time to really go into all of this, but let me just say that God is a spirit, John chapter 4, verse 24, God is a spirit, and because he gave authority over this earth to physical human beings, God did not have absolute control and authority over this earth. He would have had to have violated his word to come in and say, guys, this is not what I intended. I take back all of this authority and power, and now I'm going to set things straight. No, he had to allow the earth to spin out of control because he gave authority to us and he didn't put any strings attached to it and say, as long as you do what I want you to do, then you can continue to rule. No, he just said, you have dominion. This is yours. Rule it. Subdue it. And when we turned it over to the devil, that is not what God intended, but he would have been unjust to come down here and wipe out the devil and stop everything and just straighten everything out. He had to speak to people, and only to the degree that people submit to God is he able to control things through them. That's a huge statement right there. There's people, we're in a political year of people running for office, and you will hear Christians all the time, well, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and like the rivers of water, he'll turn it whichever way he wants. And they take from that and say that God controls everything. And they'll say, well, it must be God's will that Obama was president, that Bush was president. After all, you know, God controls all these things. God doesn't control that. God does not control who gets in office. And I opened up a can of worms right there. I hadn't even got time to defend that, but that is not true. I believe it grieves God, some of the people that get in office. God does not control all of this. God does not do that. We vote. And if you don't vote, you are controlling who gets into office. You need to vote. God doesn't control all this stuff. And so anyway, God gave people with physical human bodies authority. And since God didn't have a body, he's a spirit, God was limited to only, he was limited to what he could do to the degree that people would yield to him. And this is the reason that Jesus had to become a man. Because there was none of us that were yielding to him properly. There was always more people yielding to the devil. Satan, you know, God is a spirit, but Satan is also a spirit. Satan doesn't have a physical body. He may have a spiritual body, but he doesn't have a physical body like what we are talking about. Satan didn't have authority to do anything in the earth. Satan can only do something if a person with a physical body yields to him and empowers him. This is why in the fifth chapter of the book of Mark, if you would have gone on and read where Greg was ministering this morning, you'll find out that that Gadarene demoniac, when those demons came out, they begged Jesus, let us enter into these swine. You know why they wanted to enter into a pig? Because a pig has more authority than a devil, because it's got a physical body. A worm has more authority than a devil. Slime, algae, bacteria has more authority than the devil because it's physical. Satan can't do anything without something physical yielding to him. He can do more through a pig than he can do without some physical body. He has to have your consent and your cooperation to get anything done. And man, I'm struggling to know what to share. I'm just going to say some stuff quickly. I'm not going to be able to explain it. This may really rub you the wrong way, but I believe that this is why. I believe that Satan's transgression against God came in the Garden of Eden, not in a pre-Adamic civilization. The earth hasn't existed for billions of years, and Satan ruled over it. And then Genesis chapter 1 is the recreation of the earth. I could prove all of that stuff if I had time. But just use this logic. You know, people use a verse out of Revelation chapter 12 that says that Satan, the dragon, took one third of the stars and cast them to the earth. And that is the only verse in the Bible that people use to say that one third of the angels rebelled with Satan and he fell. Now, to me, that's symbolic. And I guess it's possible that it does say that the dragon it is talking about is Satan. But that's symbolic. And to build a doctrine that one third of the angels fell and transgressed with Lucifer and stuff, that's stretching it. So I'm not even sure that's what it's talking about. But let me just say, all right, I'll give you that. That's talking about Satan taking one third of the angels in his transgression. How dumb would it be for the devil to take one third of the angels and do a frontal attack on God with two thirds of the angels still intact? If he had 100% of the angels, he couldn't have overcome God, because God's the creator and he would have defeated them all if he had had them. This whole thing that Satan just assaulted God and transgressed against God and stuff doesn't make sense. Because he didn't have any power against God. God would have overcome him. You know what I believe he did? It says in Isaiah chapter 14 that he was Lucifer, the son of the morning. And then in Ezekiel chapter 28, it describes how he was in the Garden of Eden. Every precious stone was his covering, and it lists the gold and the beryl and the onyx and the diamond and all of these things. It describes Lucifer in a perfect state in the Garden of Eden. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14 talks about the angels, and it says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who shall be heirs of salvation? Angels were created to serve us and to minister to us. And I believe that Lucifer was created by God. He was this anointed angel, and he was put in the Garden of Eden to serve Adam and Eve. He was not a fallen being at that time. If that would be like me taking my children and putting them out in the backyard and saying, there's a lion out there, be careful, that'd be irresponsible. It'd be irresponsible for God to put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden with this huge demonic force there that was going to tempt them. He wasn't Satan. He was Lucifer in the Garden of Eden. And Ezekiel chapter 28 describes that. And I believe that it was there that his transgression against God happened. He came against God's people because God gave mankind an authority and power that even angels didn't have. Their authority and power is delegated. But ours, he gave us authority and power and says, it's yours. Do with it what you want. And Satan saw a chink in God's armor, you and me. And if he could get us to submit to him, then we would take the God-given authority and power that God gave us to rule, and we would transfer it to the devil. It says in Romans chapter 6, verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Even though that verse wasn't written yet, you know the word of God is eternal. It was, these truths were true before they were ever written down and canonized and put into a Bible. And so this was a law of God that whoever you yield yourself to, you become his servant. So if Satan could get mankind to submit and yield to him, then the power God had given us for good would be transferred to him and he could use it. In a sense, it's like if you go into a bank and you've got all of these armed guards standing around to protect that bank. There's no way that you could overpower them. Their firepower is greater. But you know what you could do? You could take a hostage and stick a knife to a hostage neck and say, you give me this money or I'll kill this hostage. And even though they outnumber you and they could overpower you because they don't want to hurt the hostage, you can actually rob a bank and get away with it by taking a hostage. In a sense, Satan knew he could never fight against God. He could never overcome God. So what he did, he came to Adam and Eve as the one who was supposed to be serving us, and he tempted them and deceived them. And when we submitted unto them, then God, if he would have wanted to wipe out the devil, he would have had to have wiped out Adam and Eve, the whole human race, because we willfully gave Satan that power. We willfully submitted to him. So anyway, I've said these things really quickly, but you can take it as andiology if you want. But I believe that Satan's transgression took place in the Garden of Eden, and God had made Lucifer, Isaiah chapter 14, I believe it's verse 12, he's called Lucifer. But you know who made Satan? We did. We empowered him. And this really blesses me because that means that Satan isn't using some angelic power, some superhuman power. You know what he's doing is using the authority and the power that God gave mankind, and his only weapon against us is deception. Absolutely. We have to believe a lie and cooperate with the devil, and we empower the devil. That's the reason he didn't come in a mammoth and put his foot on Eve's head and say, eat the tree or I'll squash you. He didn't have any power to do anything. That's the reason that God could let Adam and Eve go on their own, because they had absolute total authority and power, and no animal, nothing could have intimidated them. There were no demons that could have intimidated them and forced them to do anything. They were absolute rulers. And if they would just obey him, nothing bad could have happened to them. They were absolutely safe. But they were deceived. The devil came not through some animal to intimidate them, but he came with the smartest, the slyest animal, the serpent, and deceived them and got them to questioning God, thinking that God was holding out on them, and they willfully disobeyed God and they willfully obeyed the devil. And by doing so, we created Satan. It is human power and authority that was given to Satan. And once you understand that, then that just lowers him down to a level that, hey, you are using the power that God originally intended for us, and only physical human bodies have this power. Jesus became a man, and in John chapter 5, he says, this is the reason I have power to execute judgment. I think it's John 5, 19, 20, somewhere around there. This is the reason I have power to execute judgment, is because I am the Son of Man. I have a physical body. This physical body is what now put the devil in problems. Because in a sense, Satan had taken man as a hostage. God, if you touch me, they willingly gave me this authority. If you wipe me out, you'll have to wipe them out. And because of God's great love for mankind, he allowed things to continue out of control because he loved us and he had a plan of redeeming us. But then Jesus became one of the hostages. Awesome. He became a man. And now the devil was in trouble. He'd been hiding. We were his shield, blocking God's judgment. But now Jesus was a flesh. And man, he took it to the devil. And Satan's so stupid, he took Jesus right into his domain, killed him, and took him to hell. And man, Jesus came out of hell with the keys of death and of hell and gave us back all his power and authority. And I'm telling you, Satan can't do anything to you without your consent and cooperation. It all comes back to an authority issue. People don't understand authority. They think the devil's making me do this. I prayed with a person earlier this week. I can't do it. I said, yes, you can. No, I can't do it. You know what? I don't mean to be mean to that person, but they don't believe. They don't understand the power and the authority that God has given us. And some of you think, well, I had cancer. I didn't give the devil any authority. You know what? There's multiple ways that this happens. But we've all been taught, you know, we sing these songs about, Lord, I'm only human. I'm just a man. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. When you sing that, you're giving the devil authority. Because you're saying, well, I'm only human. I'm just a man. I'm just a woman. That's not true. I am not only human. One third of me is wall-to-wall Holy Ghost. One third of me has the same power in it that raised Christ from the dead. And anytime you see this and they say, well, you know, it's flu season, you're going to have this, your family, heart attack runs in the family, you may not have sat there and have said, all right, I want cancer, I want heart problems. But you bought into a lie that you're only human. And after all, it's genetic. And the doctors say this. And after you get so old, you've got an increased chance of this and of that. And you just listen to this and you buy into it and accept it. And you just empower the devil by thinking, well, I'm only human. After all, this has happened in my family before. After all, I'm over 40 now and I should expect that. You've just empowered the devil. One of the reasons that Adam lived to be 960 years old is because he didn't know that there was a flu season. He didn't know that he was over the hill at 40. He didn't know these things. It took thousands of years for Satan to get people as conscious of things and as programmed as we are today. Did you know this is just an ideology? I can't show you a scripture on this, but my opinion is I deal with a lot of people, and people who have had medical training and background are the hardest to get healed. Not because God treats you differently, thinks about you differently, but you think about God differently. You have been steeped that when you see this happen, boom, this is the result. And they don't say, unless God heals. Now, we're only telling you the natural thing, but of course, God is above all of this and all of it's subject to God. No, they don't tell you that. They just say, thus, they don't say this either, thus saith the Lord, but that's the way it's interpreted, that this is the way it is. And if you see a person with this tumor, this is the results. They got so long to live, no way out of it. And we have been taught this, and it has been ingrained in us, and you have a fear and, in a sense, a faith of those negative things coming to pass. And through all of that stuff, you have empowered the devil and depowered, or whatever the proper way to say that is, God. You've taken power away from God because you just, well, after all, this is what the doctor says. This is what the scientist says. Those things don't mean anything to God. But it means something to us. And we have been programmed and brainwashed to think a certain way, and it limits what God can do. Pastor Mark used that verse the other day, Psalm 78:41. In their hearts, they turned back to Egypt and they limited the Holy One of God. How clear can the scripture make it that you limit God? God does not have freedom to just do whatever he wants to. You have more control over your life than God does. If you want God's results in your life, you've got to learn to submit And this doesn't only mean just, you know, avoiding the cardinal sins and not going out and committing adultery. We've got to get to where our thinking is in line with God, to where we say, I can do all things through Christ, like Wendell was teaching yesterday. But the world is constantly telling you, oh no, you can't do that. No, the color of your skin, you'll never be able to prosper. You don't have the education, you'll never be able to prosper. And you have people just constantly telling you things. And if you believe that lie and submit to it in your thinking, you empower the devil to keep you from doing that. You stop God. Satan can't stop God. Jesus and the devil have already met. Jesus won, hands down. There is no battle between God and the devil. But the devil is fighting us. We have an adversary, the devil. We have to resist steadfast in the face. There is a battle, but it's between us and the devil. And it really is what 1 Timothy chapter 6 calls the good fight of faith. Because you don't have to physically fight him. The fight is over deception. He's trying to deceive you and to tell you you're only a man. You're only a woman. Miracles like this don't happen. God can't heal somebody of AIDS. And we just put all kinds of limitations. The battle is, are you going to keep your mind stayed on the Word of God and believe what God's Word says? Or are you going to limit God by believing that you're only a man, you're only a woman, that these kind of miracles can't happen? God can't provide this. And if you submit to the deception, you limit God. Satan can't limit God, but you can. You have more control over your life than God has. God gave you control. He gave you authority. And if your life is a mess, it's because of you. Now the devil is involved. He's constantly tempting us. We live in a fallen world where there are so many perverted things and stuff. And so I'm all for blaming the devil for everything I can blame him for. But the truth is, a lot of times it's not the devil, it's just you. I believe that the devil sometimes looks at people and thinks, oh, I never thought of that. He's taking notes. Like, man, I'm going to reproduce this one. That was awesome. It's just amazing. I was talking to somebody just the other day who was on drugs and alcohol. And again, I'm not trying to criticize anybody else. I know I'm the weird one. But it just defies logic. It defies logic why anybody would do drugs and alcohol. It does not make a lick of sense. It hurts you physically. It hurts you mentally. You ruin your brain through it. It costs you lots of money. You get shame. You're condemned. You lose relationships. You lose jobs. There's not a single good reason. It defies logic. It is absolutely brainless, the things that we do. And then we say, God, why is my life a mess? And we get mad at God. And you're the one that totally, you gave the devil the gun and loaded it for him. All he did was pull the trigger. Man, once you begin to understand authority, it really helps, because you know what? The devil, he is a factor, but he is a deceiver. That's what it says in Revelation chapter 12. He goes out to deceive. He's the deceiver. And his only weapon is deception and lies. That's what he came to Adam and Eve with, is lies. He deceived them. He doesn't have the power to make you do anything. Regardless of what Flip Wilson 101 says, nobody made you do anything. And once you understand this, man, it changes everything around. That, you know what? I know God has empowered me and given me the authority to accomplish whatever he's told me to do. Amen. I may not know how to get from where I am to there, but I know that Satan can't stop me. People can't stop me. The only thing that can stop me is me. And I'm going to get into the Word of God. And I'm going to renew my mind. And I'm going to begin to start thinking like God and talking like God and acting like God. And if I'll do it, I'll get the same results that God gets. And man, it just empowers me. You know, we've got a woman, I think she's here today, I'm not sure, but anyway, she's one of our Bible college students from Nigeria. And last year, she was a first year student, and she came to me, and she had all kinds demonic things. She couldn't sleep at night. Demons were attacking her and things were happening and stuff. And she came to me, and I forget exactly all the things, but there was two or three times she came to me about, I need prayer, I need deliverance, would you please cast these things out? And I basically took the approach that I'm taking today. I said, Satan can't do anything to you without your consent and cooperation. If Satan is tormenting you in your sleep, it's because you've believed a lie and somehow or another you've empowered him. And she said, oh no, I love God, I'm serving God and all this. But anyway, she came from Nigeria. She came from a culture where demons are much more embraced and understood than it is in this culture. And anyway, because of that, she had kind of a fear of the devil. And over two or three times she came and I talked to her. And anyway, she has been absolutely set free without anybody casting the demons out of her. She just found out the truth. And she began to start recognizing that, hey, you can't do this to me. And it not only has affected her, but her husband and her family back in Nigeria have been totally delivered, healed of things. I talked to her a few days ago, and she's back from Nigeria, and she's going all over Nigeria telling people these things and seeing people set free. And the only thing that Satan uses to keep people in darkness and under bondage is a lack of knowing the truth. People perish for a lack of the truth. And when you find out that God gave you and me dominion, we lost it or gave it to the devil, but Jesus won it back, and he's now given us even greater dominion than what Adam had, because Adam only had power on the earth. We have power in heaven and in earth and even under the earth. We've got superior authority to Adam. And Satan can't stop anything God wants to do in our life from coming to pass unless we stop him, because he will not force his will upon you. So you get your mind renewed, you know the truth, and you will be made free. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.
We hope your heart has been quickened by hearing the Word of God through this message. It's the faithful support of people like you who make this ministry possible. We invite you to prayerfully consider becoming a partner with Andrew Womack Ministries. We maintain a website at awmi.net. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, or you can write us at P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80934. Until next time, we pray that you'll reach out by faith and receive everything that's yours through God's grace.